One of the most charming places to hear live classical music during a West Michigan summer is the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. For 27 years, weekly concerts have been held in July and August at the Saugatuck Woman's Club on Butler and Hoffman, featuring a rotating lineup of new and returning players. For tomorrow night's concert, artistic directors Drew Lee and Jennifer Walvoord have devised a program filled with fantasies by Vaughan Williams and Frank Bridge, plus a quintet for two violins, two violas, and cello, composed by Antonin Dvorak during an idyllic summer spent in Spillville, Iowa. Cellist Judith Vanderweg, the principal cellist of the Flint Symphony, is one of the festival's fixtures after 16 straight seasons. We recently talked about the range of music on the program, the unique history of fantasies in England, and her deep attachment to the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck.
This is the highlight of my summer, and maybe even the highlight of my year, because playing chamber music is what I love to do the most. It's interesting in the preparation for me, and I have discussed this with other musicians. When you're playing chamber music, you have your preparation by yourself, your practice time before you come to rehearsals. And I personally experience reaching a point where I just don't want to do it anymore by myself. I want to see who I'm playing with. I want to look into their eyes. I want to move my body in the same direction that they go. You know, it's just such a physical and emotional commitment. It's like sitting in your living room playing your cello part. It needs the humanity of mixing with everyone else. So I always come here just wired and ready to go. Joan Conway and I and several others, Carolyn and Jonathan Holden, played a concert in Holland in June. And I emailed Joan and I said, I'm sitting in my living room practicing and I'm looking at you at the piano, because in my mind, you know, I know that's who I'm playing with, and this is what we're doing together. So you have your imaginary friends, and it's just really nice to get here and they're no longer imaginary.
Give me an idea of the rehearsal schedule. When do you all meet, and how do you go through the music? How many days do you get?
This has been standard for a long time, and it is for most festivals. A new program starts on Monday morning, and the time set aside for all of the music is from, like, give or take, 10 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, the rehearsal schedule is sort of based on who's playing what pieces and carpools and things like that. But primarily, we have that rehearsal schedule Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the concerts are Thursday and Friday. And then the following Monday, all new music. You know, so if you're on for a second week, it's just right away. You know, Monday morning, new music. It's pretty intense festival playing, but I think that we kind of thrive on it.
When I talk to concert artists who are coming in to play with the Kalamazoo Symphony, for example, it sounds like they get one rehearsal the night before.
If you're asking about chamber music festivals, yeah, that's what I said. But or soloists with orchestra come in the night before. That's a different thing. That's not a week-long process for them. The orchestra has been, you know, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or something, but not the soloists. But in chamber music, we need a little bit more time to gel. It's different. I mean, a soloist can do what they darn well please. And, you know, the conductor and the orchestra have to follow them. But in chamber music, we get to discuss these things because we are without benefit of conductor, or if it is a benefit. I mean, I think that's why we love chamber music, because we're making our own decisions. So there's a lot to talk about and hash out, and it's just wonderful to... And it amazes me that I'm sort of the stranger to this group. I can sit down with these people that I just don't know at all. But it's just such common ground, and we all have the same goals. It's a beautiful thing.
Violinist Renata Knifik at Western Michigan University years ago said to me that, you know, playing in the Merling Trio is more challenging than playing a concerto with an orchestra, because you're both soloist and then immediately you are... supporter, so you know, backup to the melody, so you never quit, and you're playing all roles at once.
She's absolutely right. And I've played a lot of chamber music with Renata. So, yes, it is that way. You're in and out. You're important and you're not important. And you are supportive, I should say. And that's a lot of what we're working on. You know, gosh, I really love my melody here. Could you play a little softer, please? You know, stuff like that.
The pieces that you're working on this week that will debut Thursday night and Friday, some of them are, I would say the English pieces aren't that standard. They're going to be surprises to some listeners. And even the quintet by Dvorak, we're used to hearing the piano quintets and the string quartets of Dvorak. So there's some surprising music on this opening concert.
You're absolutely right. And without telling you how old I am, I have to say, this is the first program I've played in years and years and years that I've never played any of these pieces before. And I don't think anyone has played these pieces before. So they are that rare or unheard or unperformed. So it is going to be a surprise for everyone. The two British pieces have an interesting connection that the fantasy word that's in the title of them, the fantasy quintet and the fantasy piano quartet, they were written, there was a gentleman named Cobbett, who was a wealthy businessman and amateur musician, and he funded a competition intended to encourage emerging British composers in the generation of Benjamin Britten and Frank Bridge, Vaughan Williams and Goossens and Arnold Bax. And then he also, he just simply commissioned these composers to write works because he just really wanted to generate chamber music repertoire from the British, his own composers. And both of these pieces were commissions from Cobbett. The Vaughan Williams was written in 1912. The Bridge Piano Quartet was written in 1910. The competition had strict rules. The piece had to be one movement. It had to have contrasting sections. It had to be performed without a break. In other words, feel through, composed, no stopping. And not to exceed 12 minutes long. Which he felt was for listener appeal. He didn't want people to have to listen to pieces that were 30 or 40 minutes long. So there were rules about composing these fantasies, and each time the competition came around, like every two or three years, it would be everyone, all the composers, all the entries had to be a piano quartet, or once it was a string quartet, once it was a piano trio. So these works are from that period, and they're fascinating to get to know.
Looks like another one of Cobbett's requirements was to spell the word fantasy with P-H-A-N-T-A-S-Y.
Exactly. Right, right.
Could we look a little closer at the Vaughan Williams? I think of the possibility of pastoral sort of music and folk melodies. Is that true in this piece?
I would say so. I would say so. I think that the first movement, I mean, it is broken into movements by name, but it says the word ataka, which means go right on at the end of each movement. So that was conforming to Cobbett's desire to have no breaks between, no singled out movements. But the first movement is called a prelude, and the prelude implies without structure, as then when the fugue comes along, you know, then you're just filled with all the rules and regulations of composing a fugue. So the fantasy, the prelude first movement is very recitative-like and kind of rhapsodic. And even though it is in a meter, frequently doesn't feel very strongly on the beat. Second movement is a scherzo and very, very folky and fun to listen to, fun to play. The third movement is a sarabande, and the cello doesn't play. So it's just the two violins and the two violas, which is an interesting texture. And then when the fourth movement opens, which is called a burlesca, then the cello has actually a solo opening there. So he goes from no cello in the third movement to the cello opening the fourth movement. So that's a really nice transition. And the burlesque is very fun, very tongue-in-cheek, and builds with lots of enthusiasm. So It's a very enjoyable piece. It's not taxing to listen to at all. I don't think it's not a mystery to figure it out. I think people will enjoy it.
It says here you're going to follow the Vaughan Williams fantasy with another fantasy by Frank Bridge.
This piece, I think it's really interesting that there is a connection between the beginning of all three of these pieces, that they all begin in a very rhapsodic way. Kind of, yes, there's meter, but there's just a whole lot of freedom, whether it's one instrument opening with a solo, or in the case of the piano quartet, the strings are playing in unison the same melodic line. Frank Bridge, I mean, I don't know that many works of his. This is very beautiful harmony. It's very rich, kind of very romantic. Given that the pieces were written right next to each other, practicing 1910 and 1912, this is very romantic, and the Vaughan Williams is very folksy and quite different. Nice contrast.
Nice that he added piano to the mix for this fantasy.
Oh, yes.
Well, now we're looking at the Dvorak. We're out of England into Czechoslovakia. Are we talking about some more of the kind of rustic melodies he would sometimes come up with? Or is this in the elegant cosmopolitan strain?
You know, I would say neither. It is very folky, but it's very American. And not as Czech. This piece was written during his years in the U.S., which was between 1892 and 1895. And it was the American String Quartet, which is a very famous piece, which people hum melodies from without even knowing what piece they're humming. This was written just a month after that, and he was in the Iowa countryside and really very much at home there, very comfortable. So he said, that he wanted to write something melodious and simple. And I don't believe that simple meant easy, necessarily. Rather that the music was very generous and sincere, like the rural Midwest that he was enjoying at the time. I think it's very lovely.
Would you take a stab at explaining why the Opus 96 Quartet is hugely known and popular and Opus 97 Quintet is rarely performed?
I don't know. You know, when I first got the list of repertoire from Jenny and Drew, I just thought, oh, they must mean the quartet, because I didn't know there was a viola quintet. So I can't explain why it's not as popular. It's very charming. It's rich and beautiful, and putting two violas in the middle of these strings is just an awesome idea. And obviously, a lot of famous and not so famous people wrote some beautiful pieces for the combination.
Well, lastly, I would ask you to tell me about your colleagues that are going to be performing with you on both of these opening night concerts for the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck. Maybe you could start with the upper strings and go down from there.
Haejin Choi, Adam Liebert, Barbara Corbido are all members of the Grand Rapids Symphony. Aaron Tubergen is playing second viola in the Vaughan Williams and the Dvorak, and he's playing first viola in the Bridge Fantasy Quartet. And Drew, yes, Andrew Lee, is obviously in the Bridge Piano Quartet, and it's wonderful to start the season with one of our music directors playing in the program.
Well, I hope your concerts go very well and the whole season is a big success. Judith, I know you're a big part of that, and it's really a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you. Very nice to speak with you.